Advanced Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader. Well, it's official. This is a real podcast. This is episode 2, and you're here. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Advanced Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Vance Martin, and today is going to be a pretty great episode. In fact, every episode is going to be great. I'm just going to put it out there. Every episode is going to be fantastic, but today is a little bit special because I've got some special people on the podcast. Over the last several weeks and months, as we are finding ourselves rolling out of this whole COVID-19 quarantine, churches are beginning to meet again, but there's one ministry that's kind of lagging behind, understandably so, and that's the children's ministries at churches. And so as I'm talking with people, there's a lot of questions that are rising up of, how do we meet together again as a kids' ministry? What do we do with volunteers? And do we make people wear masks? And, do we put people in a bubble as they come in? This is an issue that is really on the top of a lot of people's mind. So I wanted to gather some of my friends that know a lot about this because they are in the middle of figuring all this out. And so I invited several of my friends to just have a conversation, to learn from each other, but also to share with the rest of, really, mainly the children's ministry community, but also leaders out there in general of, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get back to a normal, or what is the new normal of a children's ministry in the current pandemic climate that we live in? So this is going to be a great conversation, and I think it's going to help you a lot, and I would love to hear your comments. So after the episode, jump on the Facebook page, and if you've got ideas or questions, jump on there. We've got the Advanced Leadership Podcast, and let's have a conversation. Well, let's jump in to the conversation of regathering, reopening children's ministry.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the conversation. I've got great friends at this digital table. We've got Paul Cunningham, Shanna Myers, and Heidi Hensley. We're going to talk about something, and I think you guys are going to like this. I heard a term the other day. We're talking about reopening children's ministry in churches. I heard somebody call it regathering instead of reopening, and I kind of like that term. I think that's pretty awesome. Instead of like reopening the thought that we were closed, we never stopped. We weren't closed. We just are coming back together. So as we talk about this reopening, regathering conversation, I'm having conversations with people all the time that are curious and want to know what they should do, how they should approach this. And so I immediately thought, who are the smartest people that I know that can have all the answers in one fell swoop? And you guys are who I asked. At least you're the ones that said yes. So I'm going to start off our conversation, and then this is going to be conversational. I know you guys have conversations for each other. And so I would love to hear, it seems like for churches that are opening up or regathering, some churches are doing it in layers where they're having staff come back first, volunteers, then ever kind of opened up to everybody. Is your church taking that approach? Is that what you're doing? Is children's ministry kind of late in the process? Because it seems like, from what I'm hearing, most churches are regathering without children's ministry first. What do the layers of what your churches are thinking, and in your ministry, what does that look like? What's the reopening steps to come back?
I'm not muted, so I'll go first.
Go for it, Paul.
So we've actually already regathered, and we've been using that language as well, that we were really just regathering our people, that the church is the people, and we've been scattered for a good while now, but that we were just going to gather back in person as we could. We did start back with staff late May. We would not come in on Mondays to give kind of time to clean and do some other stuff. So we would do remotely on Mondays, and then Tuesday through Thursday, we were in the office. Did that probably about 3 or 4 weeks. And then on Father's Day, we regathered. We had adults, and then we actually did preschool as well the first weekend for the first 3 weeks.
Okay.
It was by reservation only. We had a 50% capacity, and we
would- Was that all of early childhood, like nursery and preschool, or just preschool?
All early childhood. Cool. And so we did a reservation cap on that so we could just maintain good numbers so we could social distance as much as we could and keep a safe environment. And then we actually brought back elementary and everybody else, preteen, everybody else this past Sunday, which would have been, I think, what is it, July 21st? What is this day? I know what day it is. Welcome.
It's after we've blown stuff up. So I know 4th of July has already passed.
Oh my goodness. I know, right? So no, back on July 12th, we brought back elementary and preteen as well, still at 50% capacity. Although this coming Sunday, we're not going to do registration anymore. So we did it in phases as well.
Cool. Ladies, what about y'all?
Well, we're in California, and California's mandate is written in a way that says that children must remain with their household. So not in the house, obviously. Thankfully, they can come to church as a family, but you have to sit as a family. So we can't separate them out yet. So we have opened outdoor services. We can have up to 100 per building. So we have some of our air conditioned venues as it gets hotter. But we do have an outdoor like amphitheater that we've built. And that's how we're hosting, you know, separated family units. We've tried to make parents successful in that. So when you arrive at our church, you can pick up color crayons, a color sheet, a blanket if you want your kids to sit on the ground. You know, they're not going to sit in a folded chair, that kind of thing. And then when they get home that day, there's an online service posted for their kids to watch and follow along. But the kids ministry side of it, at least, we have not been able to gather since, when did this start? March? I think California closed March 15th, something like that. Mm-hmm. We have not had a children's gathering since that time.
And is it kind of up in the air for you guys because of California? Have they put like an end time on it, on their restrictions at this point? So no. What's your
thought? In fact, they just took steps backwards.
Right.
We were gradually opening, and we could have 100 inside and outdoor services, and they just pulled it back to where we can't have indoor services again. So we're now only outdoor.
So when they start moving back towards the reopening of the state, what's the strategy right now for you guys of regathering children's ministry separate from moms and dads? What's your thought process behind that?
Well, we have kind of a plan B if we have to. I mean, we're blessed to have this great campus where we have fields and stuff like that. There is a school on our campus, so we have appropriate playgrounds and resources like that. Should we have to meet outside, there's a separate plan for that. But we are aiming for going inside and basically equipping our rooms to where we can host a distance amount of kids. It's about 25% of our capacity in those spaces. And then after each service, the kids' building will completely close, be sanitized, transition toys, and then reopen. So, yeah.
So easy peasy. Another weekend.
That's right.
Thanks, Heidi. What about you guys, Shanna?
Yeah, this weekend was supposed to be our first weekend with kids, and we are not. So we are a little bit like California. We had started moving forward, and then we just totally backtracked. So we had done a preview service almost that was, you know, with registration, and then we kind of had a weekend, and then we immediately were back to online. So we have kind of backtracked. For us, we are basically sort of following a little bit what's happening in the school districts right now, which our governor just said that kids cannot meet in person until August 17th. That's the plan right now. We're hearing a lot of rumblings though that everything will probably be digital and online probably until what we would call our fall break, which would be in October. So we are kind of sitting in a limbo right now. Our goal is to hopefully come back. Our adults will start to come back maybe the 2 weeks before that date, so early in August. And then just as you guys are doing meeting together, in the worship center all together, and then we'll slowly open some kids spaces, but we may not have kids things until October, just trying to give parents some room to just be okay. So we've been doing a lot of things digitally. We have, we call it our Compass Kids at Home. It's a page on our website, and it has just all kinds of activities, a video, worship. It isn't just a service recorded. It's more meant for the parents to kind of take charge as to how they would like to implement that at their home. So they can choose which pieces they like best and maybe choose one activity or two, or just kind of do that, trying to give the parents some ownership of that instead of having to watch an adult service and then having to watch kid service. So that's kind of where we sit right now. And then we've just got a lot of Zoom calls going and, you know, all the other kinds of fun stuff in the meantime.
Yeah. One of the things that I was thinking about yesterday compared to 2019, like I wonder how many times the word mask has been used comparatively speaking. And it, I mean, it has to be, the percentage is probably astronomical. One of the things that I'm hearing a lot, or a lot of questions, and I would love to get you guys' insight on this, is in the process of regathering, re-meeting specifically in children's ministry, and it could be different state by state, but what, if any, requirements with, you know, personal protective gear, mask, face shields, gloves, are you suggesting, requiring for staff, volunteers, kids? You know, what does that look like for you guys? Are you making people wear masks? I mean, I never thought that there would be such a divide over the maskers and the unmaskers. It's crazy time. It's crazy. So this seems like to be this hot button issue that we're forced to deal with that is real. And so for the people that feel resistant to wearing masks, or the people that, you know, are completely opposite, like think that those people are crazy because they don't want to wear a mask. What are you guys looking at as far as restrictions and mandatory guidelines for PPE and mask and those kind of things for those categories of people as you're coming back?
I'll speak into what we did the first few weeks, and then really something we had to pivot on pretty fast this past weekend. So the first 3 weeks we were doing it with, you know, with adults and then with preschool. For preschool, we required all staff and volunteers anytime they were in the area to wear a mask, and we actually required gloves. We knew after talking to most health professionals that gloves were not as effective as you just wash your hands a lot. But for us, it was as much of a visual.
Yeah, makes you look really clean if you're wearing a mask.
It really does. Well, and that's what we had to cast vision for with our volunteers and staff, of to say, hey, this is as much of a visual cue to parents to let them know that we're taking their kids' safety seriously as it is just in terms of it being practical and whatnot. So we did that, and nowhere else did we require it of our volunteers anywhere else in the building. We did have a room for anyone who wanted to attend worship that wanted to be in a mask only room. So it was a room that was designated only for mask. And if you were going to be in that area in that room, you had to wear a mask. And so that's kind of how we bridged that divide of we had an area for, hey, if you wanted to do it, great. And if not, you have that option another place. So that was going great, and it really was working. And then this past Thursday, we got kind of handed by our governor, all the counties that our campuses are in Mississippi were masked in required areas. Now, he has said repeatedly, and this is great, and it makes it a little bit tougher, that churches did not have to follow the same regulations. But we made the call at the beginning that we were going to honor our governor and just set a good example, and whatever those guidelines were, we were going to follow them as well. So on Thursday at 4:30, right as staff were about to leave, we had to call them all together and say, hey, by the way, like all staff and volunteers now everywhere have to wear masks. And we are highly encouraging all people who attend to wear masks. And what we're doing this weekend is fifth grade and up required. If someone wants to take a moral stand on masks, we're not going to kick them out or not let them in, but we are highly encouraging everyone to wear them. And pretty much everyone did that was there this past weekend. So now we're at staff and volunteers all have to wear them in all areas at all times. And then fifth grade up, we're requiring it for people.
For us, we're kind of in the same boat. You know, here at least, masks are mandatory if you're in a public setting. So we're the same way in the sense that within reason, we're honoring the mandates. We want to be a good example for the for the public. We don't require them if you are sitting in our outdoor service, because in California, if that setting is not required. So you can actually come from the parking lot, go to the outdoor service and sit. Where we're seeing people do though, is they come to the outdoor service and then they congregate and then they sit. But you know, again, that's gonna be your personal preferences. If you go into any of our indoor spaces, you actually have your temperature taken prior to going in. A mask is required. And even through that, you can take your mask off when you sit down because all the chairs are spaced rows apart. But we haven't faced it with kids. I know that as a staff, we've been asked to wear them on the weekends. Just again, as the example, and because people come up to us and ask questions, things like that. We haven't really done the gloves. The people who take the temperature, those people, they kind of look like the from Monsters, Inc., where they got the full suit and the shield, yeah. And that's what they look like.
I've been wanting to get a full gas mask, you know, with the whole, just walk around with that. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. So when we come back, though, we're thinking we will have masks on volunteers. We will take temperatures of kids as they enter the building. Once they make that clearance, though, we're going to do our best to keep them off of each other. But we aren't anticipating, unless the rule is different, we aren't anticipating making it mandatory for kids. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yep, that's great. Shane, anything different for you guys? Pretty much the same.
Yeah, we're kind of the same. I mean, at first we were saying that masks were at your comfort level, meaning if you wanted it, you could wear it. If you didn't want to, you didn't have to. But now that it's mandatory, you know, in our state, that probably will be the case. It's just a tricky conversation because for the little guys, you know, to see someone in a mask.
Yeah.
Our older kids.
Not welcoming.
Right. They understand. They get it. But for the littlest ones who are just home with mom and dad and don't have to wear those, that just feels a little scary and that. So I think, I mean, as much as it is safe to do, I think for our littlest ones, I hope that we can come back without having to wear masks too much, but probably that will be the case at first for us as well. And we've kind of decided just not to really press the issue on the temperature checks, just because it felt like it got to be this such a slippery slope as to who's going to be the enforcer. And then does that mean the whole family has to leave? And what if the student tested high, but not the kid, you know, like just as we talked about, there are so many scenarios that we were like, maybe we're not going to go down that road right now, but there will be a lot of conversations and probably communication just about self checking yourself. Like, would you, before you come in, we even have it on a lot of our doors. Like, have you had a temperature? Have it kind of the typical questions that we will say, we want you to ask those before you come, and please don't just pretend like, oh, well, they had a fever yesterday, so it's fine. You know, like stressing the urgency of that, that parents ask those questions, yeah. Volunteers as well, before you come into any of our space. So.
And that's what we've done. We have signage at our doors that specifically say, hey, if you've had a fever within 48 hours. So we have that all of our entrances. We have hand sanitizer at all of our entrances. We do temp checks for volunteers and staff. We don't do it for kids or for families, but we do it for them. And they have to sign a sheet of paper that basically says all these different things, have not come into contact, all that, before they can serve that day. And then we actually have them put on a sticker so that we know they've been checked and screened and everything.
Yeah. We're also making, all the kids wash their hands. We did this even before, like when this all first started back in March. Any kid who came into our space had to wash their hands in the bathroom before they could come into any of our spaces. And that went for all age groups pretty much.
I think we should just do that all the time.
I was about to say, I'm hoping washing your hands doesn't
welcome, go wash your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope people keep washing their hands even after this is all over. I'm just going to
say. For sure. Totally. We just have someone on our team who ran a preschool, and she said one year they had horrible sickness and things, and the next year, just as the kids entered their school, they had to wash their hands. She's like, and it cut down by 90% the amount of kids who were sick in their school just by washing their hands upon entering the building. So we kind of just implemented that, and it took parents and families an extra minute, but you know, it worked. I think it worked too.
Washing your hands. What a novel concept. I'll tee it up to you guys. Do y'all have any questions for each other? Anything you've been wondering? And let's use the collective wisdom here.
I'll tee it up for us. volunteers who were serving with us before, but then now all of a sudden they find themselves at home. What have you been doing to leverage into your volunteers that are at home? They can't gather with their kids or families in person. What have you been doing to keep them engaged and leveraged into the season?
We've made a lot of phone calls. So they get a list of names of a group, either it's from the group that they serve with, or if that or just something different. And we've called just a lot of families, people that were our regulars kind of beforehand, asking them to do that. We've asked them to jump in on our kids Zoom calls. So come join us, be part of the call. So if you're serving a certain age group, and we've had some volunteers doing that, even calling the other teammates within their team. So if there's four people who serve in that ministry together, we are asking them to connect with each other. We've even tried some volunteer Zoom calls, trying to get the volunteers to just be part of things. And we'll kind of give a just an encouraging note. We play some Zoom games, usually the same ones we play with the kids. We'll play with them. Oh, and we wrote a lot of notes, birthday cards, you know, just trying to, we hand delivered birthday cards and said, write them to all the kids in first grade that have a birthday in the month of June in a quarantine situation. And they did things like that as well.
Yeah, I think we're probably in the same boat. We've the Zoom calls, inviting them to be part of those. And for us, I don't know about you guys, but when we started those, they started really strong. And then as kids had to finish the school year online, our poor parents were just zoomed out. So yeah, they said, you know, can we take a break from the Zoom calls? And so we've opted to do some different things. One of the things that we have really loved, though, is the ability to send things to them. But as we're doing some of these different events, I know when we logged on, I mentioned that we're doing VBS online this week. It was amazing to me. We knew that our kids would want the t-shirts, but we had no idea that the adults would want the t-shirts. And so the volunteers wanted their yearly shirt. And as simple as that was, that, you know, $3 t-shirt to create this drive-through line where they could pick it up, we're seeing as many adults online as we are the kids. And you know, it just keeps the fire lit, and it's fun. It's fun connection.
That's cool. Yeah, to your thing, Heidi, is the analogy that came to my head, it's almost like the season we've been, which has been now long. I don't even know if you can call this a season anymore.
Yeah.
The different word. It's like Narnia, where it was always winter, but never Christmas kind of a thing. It felt like at times, but it's like in swimming in the Olympics, they have that one, which, oh, the Olympics should be happening right now or around now, and they're not. But there's like that one race where every 100 meters or so, they have to change strokes. And that's what we've been saying is, hey, guys, every about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have to change up what we're doing, because we saw the same thing, especially in student ministry. We went Zoom fast with our groups and it worked. But then the second schools got on board, they were burnt out, and we had to rethink how we were doing things. And I think that's just the season we're in. Yeah, much like both of you, a lot of phone calls, a lot of personal contact, which is actually funny, Vance. I think this is, I'm hoping this carries on past the pandemic, which is, I think the church in the future and now has to simultaneously get more digital and more personal, yeah, which you would think are two diametrically opposed things. And in a sense they are, but they're really things that we have to do, not just now, but ongoing, is be a lot more digital, but then also be a lot more personal and connect with people outside of Sundays. So we're experiencing that same kind of thing you guys are.
Totally. One thing that I'm just seeing as I'm talking with churches, and I would love to hear you guys' perspective. Obviously we've changed so much, you know, from, I mean, we were all churches all over the place. We're just hitting it hard and going for it, building and expanding. And then to just stop for the first time ever, seriously, like ever globally meeting together. And now as we are coming back, it seems that to me, there's a little bit of the 80-20 rule coming into play. So there's this weird thing that we're seeing and hearing, that most churches are reporting that their giving is either the same or greater, that the giving hasn't gone down significantly, but it's relatively stayed at least, if not a little bit below, but somewhere close to marginally, it's the same. And then we're seeing churches here in Florida. We had most churches, and I'd say most churches still are open for the most case here in Florida. But it looks like the attendance numbers of people that are coming back to church are, you know, maybe 5 to 10% of what they were seeing in person. Their online views are obviously higher, but real engagement is down. And it seems like there's this feeling of, are we really the church reduced down to the church that we actually had, which was the 20% that were giving, involved, and consistent, and those that were, you know, maybe 70 to 80% on the fringe that were attending now, you know, now and again, once a month, weren't really giving, they're no longer engaged. Because I don't know about you guys, I've loved Jesus all my life, but I do not love going to church online anymore. It's tough. And so I'm just thinking about the nominal Christian, somebody that is, or that's not highly involved. I think we're seeing them moving away from the church or taking on a stance, a new normal of, man, it sure is convenient to just either watch service whenever I want to, or when it's live, do it in my pajamas while I'm eating cereal. And so are you guys seeing that in your church where, you know, that 80-20 principle at play? And what are your thoughts about that on kind of like rebuilding the church with kind of the core that we actually had as a church? And that could be really scary for us moving forward. Let's say fast forward past COVID, are we going to have 20, 30% of the numbers that maybe were inflated that now we're at the core of the real church? Just a wild theory. What do you guys think?
I think it kind of depends on the population of your church too. I know our church is a very, you know, our pastor is a legacy pastor, and the crowd that he draws on average is an older age group. They're, yeah. This is their
and
community.
Highly loyal. Yeah.
And highly loyal. Yes. And this is their community. This is where they gather. The other side of that is our young population, many of which are military. And again, this is your family. This is your people. And so as when we opened on Father's Day for the outdoor services, it was kind of a slow trickle, but we had still about 1,000, you know, on campus. For the 4th of July, we were back up to almost 4,000 people that came through. And yeah. It's because our people genuinely, like, this is the point of connection in their life. I do think had I been at a church where I was prior, where it's primarily a young population, very tech savvy, that response would have been different. But for us, at least, we're seeing that we're going to come back and we're going to come back and then some. And that's kind of exciting.
Your church probably wasn't an 80-20 principle in the beginning. Yours was probably more 80-20 in the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So yours is weird. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would say we probably feel that, Vance. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting already, just even the volunteer piece. You know, we've kind of tried, as we kind of got ready for what we thought was going to be this weekend, kind of asking people how they felt, and a lot of people not comfortable coming back yet, even as volunteers. So that will be interesting. But I think, upon return, I think in our minds, you know, in children's ministry, I feel a little bit of the burden of what sets apart an online service versus coming in person. Well, it's that my kids get to come and have something that they can't have when we're at home, right? So I think in my heart, I want to be something at our church that says, we're going because we want our kids to come, right? Because we can get adult service online. Like we can, that maybe changes a little bit, you know, but the elements that are there are the same. But what isn't the same is that I get to bring my kids and my students to be with their friends and to hear a message and to get that. So I think for me, I hope that as we regather, that we get to offer something that parents haven't had this whole time. You know, they've been able to do a lot of things for themselves and for adults, you know, online, but not necessarily the same for kids. So I hope that that inspires my team, at least, to say, like, let's make this awesome. Like, let's do things really well and make parents feel safe to bring their kids back here so that they get something that they haven't had all these months.
It's great perspective, Shannon. Yeah.
Well, first off, I thought about a week ago, I want to do a doctoral thesis on this. So anyone who's watching, well, because I'm like you, I wonder if what I would love to see across churches is for those that were in a group serving and giving, what percentage of them come back faster versus those who aren't. I think even your nominally connected people are going to come back. It might be a year or more, honestly, yep. before some of them do. I think eventually they will too, but I've been wondering the same thing. For us at our attendance, you know, the reason we withdrew reservations is because we were nowhere close to 50%. You know, I mean, we've seen some campuses in the teens, maybe low 30s at high moments, yeah. but we haven't really seen that since the first week or two. And so I think that's where we're at. You know, I'm looking at through this a little bit different. By the way, Vance, like, wave your arms if I start talking too much or too long, because this is something I'm thinking a lot about this week. It's the things I've been pressing my staff and myself to think through, though, is perhaps one of the things God wants to do in this season of all this going on and people not coming back is to force us out of maybe some bad habits and routines yeah. that we had gotten in, and that specifically of being too Sunday-centric. And the two, I guess, numbers and charts that are in my head that I've created over the past couple of weeks is, and I've told my staff, we can't spend 95% of our week serving only 20% of our people who have come back. You know, for a while, we were doing nothing but calls and digital stuff, serving those who were at home. But it would be so easy for us to get back in the old work week where so much was Sunday-centric. But if only 25% of our people are coming, that's a losing formula. Yeah. And the other one that came to mind that it both challenged me, made me feel bad, but this time I was like, okay, let's think about this. I did this breakdown of hours that a family was with us in a given month during COVID and pre-COVID. So during COVID, took everybody's waking hours and took potential hours of influence. And a church right now over a given month for us here, we have about 0.21% of a child or student's month of their waking hours right now. And that's assuming like we are talking to them, FaceTiming, Zooming, they're watching our digital stuff. At most, it's probably an hour a month, okay? So pre-COVID, it jumps all the way up to 0.42% of a month. So wow, we double. Because your average family for us, I don't know about where it is for you're coming from, was coming only one every 3 or 4 weeks. So we were seeing them once yeah. a month, and I rounded it up to 2 hours. The point of me saying that is to say, if we're fighting to regather people just to go from 0.21 to 0.42, that just seems weird to me. And so part of, again, what we're processing our end is on the back end of this, even when we do have the numbers come back, how can we leverage into the 99% of the time they're not with us? And again, I think that goes back to the digital and to making things more personal. How can we have our servant leaders and our small group leaders and everybody constantly calling our families and us checking in with families when they're not here to see how their week is going and so on and so forth. So that's part of, it's a different kind of answer probably than you were expecting, but that's part of what we're wrestling with is even when the masses do come, how can we leverage into more their week than what we have been in the past when they were all here? So something we're thinking about.
Well, I think what you just talked about, that's for me is the next conversation that we all as leaders should be thinking about is what are the things that we've had to change that we may want to stick with, you know, and how has this fundamentally, philosophically changed the way that we approach children's and family and student ministry? And is there something else? There, we were really in a deep rut of complacency and just the rhythm and the carousel of the weekend. And this really shook us out of it. And I think it's, God is in some ways going to use this to awaken a sleeping giant in the church. And I just believe that. And I think it's our role as leaders to get ahead of that and say, okay, how can we shift and reach? Well, we've talked about it, but now what are we going to do about it to reach this generation? Well, I think that's probably a pretty good spot to end it. Thank you guys for your time. I hope this was beneficial for y'all. I know it was for me. This was fun. And I know that a lot of other people are going to benefit a ton from this. So thank you guys for having the conversation. And just everybody out there that's watching, I think just know that we're going to be praying for you. We're praying for each other. And if you're not, let's do that. Let's lift each other up, pray for each other, because you're not alone in this. If you hear anything, hear this, you're not alone. And there are other people out there that are struggling. And so pick up the phone and call somebody and just dialogue about these issues. If nothing more than just to know, hey, somebody is shouldering this burden with me.
What amazing wisdom. I told you there was some smart people in that in that conversation. That's going to be, that's really the first part of the conversation. We're going to have another sit down with another group of people, really looking at what's next in children and student ministry, as well as the world has changed and we should change with it. And what could that future look like, and how does it involve staff and parents and volunteers? So you don't want to miss that conversation. Hey, thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe. If you haven't left a review, leave a review. That helps helps the podcast out a ton. Also, jump over on Facebook. Look at the Facebook page. Like it. It's Advanced Leadership Podcast. We're also on social media, so give it a follow. That's the best way to get the most up-to-date on episodes and when they come out. Thanks for listening to the Advanced Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader.